Find the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 this morning. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Here we are, the last Sunday of the year 2019. Next Sunday will be 2020. And this is a time whenever we, I trust all, will pause long enough to reflect upon the last year, look at the blessings of the Lord upon us, also look at the weaknesses, the failures, as well as our successes. We'll reevaluate some things and get our priorities back in order. We all need to do that occasionally, do we not? It's so easy to just get things all mixed up. And I think the message this morning will help us to do that. In Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house," that is, received the Lord Jesus. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" I want you to notice that little phrase, "one thing is needful." That's the title I've given to the message this morning, "The One Thing That Is Needful." I fear that so many times that we get involved in a lot of other things, and we're taken away or distracted from doing that which is really the one thing that is most needed. And I pray the Lord will use the testimonies of these two ladies to help us to evaluate our own lives and get our priorities straightened out. So, Father, please bless this morning as I seek to preach Thy Word. Please give me a clear mind. Help me to speak simply, plainly. Help the people to listen. Help us to put aside all the cares of this life, all the distractions of the holiday season that we're in the middle of, and concentrate entirely on the Word of God for a few minutes here this morning. And Lord, as a result of sitting under the sound of the Word of God, whenever we leave here, may we say, "It's been good to be in the Lord's house." There's some things that I realized that had gotten out of line in my life. I've got my priorities readjusted. And for anyone here that does not know You as their Savior, oh God, touch that heart today. Let them see that all these things of the world, they're temporal. They're passing away. That their relationship with You is really all that's important. That's the main thing. That's the one thing that is needful. And may they realize that and be brought to Thy saving grace this morning, I pray. And everyone said with the preacher, amen. The home of Martha, her younger sister Mary, and their brother Lazarus was one where Jesus was always welcome. There's no doubt that each of them loved the Lord Jesus and that the Lord Jesus loved each of them. However, we find that though Martha and Mary both loved the Lord, they expressed their love in different ways. Let me show you what I'm trying to get across to you here this morning. We find that Martha and Mary, they're found in three different passages of the New Testament. The first one here is in my text in Luke chapter 10. I want you to look at Martha in verses 40 and 41. The Bible says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" Now notice here, she was cumbered about much serving. Now go over to the Gospel of John. We'll be coming back and forth between these three passages of Scripture here this morning. But over in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, we have here the story of the death of Lazarus and how the Lord miraculously raised him from the dead. And in John chapter 11, in verses 19 and 20, we jump here in the middle of the story. John chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. The Bible says, "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." Now, here's what I want you to notice. Next verse. "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him." Do you see that? There they are. They're grieving at the home. And they hear the news the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Their brother has died. And just as soon as Martha and Mary hear the news, Martha jumps up and runs out to meet the Lord before He gets there. Now, over the next chapter of John, John chapter 12, here we find that the Lord is enjoying a meal in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus again. And in John chapter 12, in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper." Now get this. "And Martha served." Now here's what I want you to see. These three times where this woman's mentioned in the New Testament, in all three cases, we find that she is very busy. Just hustle, bustle. I mean, she is a bundle of energy and activity. Always doing something for the Lord. Now she has a sister, Mary. Mary loves the Lord just as much as Martha does, and Martha loves the Lord as much as Mary does. But I want you to see that Mary expresses her love for the Lord in a complete different way. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 10. We're going to go through these three passages again, but we're going to see the difference in how these ladies express their love for the Lord. You see in Luke chapter 10 and verse 39, here's what the Bible says. "And she," that is Martha, "had a sister called Mary," now get this, "which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." Now here's Martha, she's up busy, serving the meal, doing all this stuff. But we find that Mary's where? She's at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go over again to the Gospel of John chapter 11, and we see here the story of the death and the resurrection of the brother Lazarus. And in John chapter 11 and in verse 32, notice what happens. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was." Now remember, they were at the home, Mary and Martha, and the news comes that Jesus is on His way. And Martha immediately runs up and she runs out to meet the Lord. She's just a bundle of activity and energy. But we find that Mary responds in a different way. In John chapter 11, verse 32, "When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet." Did you get that? Martha runs to Him, but when Mary, she doesn't just jump up and run, but whenever she gets there, she falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we come to chapter 12 of John, this third place where these two ladies are mentioned. And we find here they're having this meal in the home again. And in John chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says this. Now remember, Martha, she was serving in verse 2. But in verse 3, the Bible says this. "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." You see something here? All three times we find that Mary is at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. This last time, she's taking her hair. The Bible tells us of the woman's hair is her glory. And she's taken and she puts that ointment on the feet of the Lord and she gets at His feet right down there so she can take her hair and rub the ointment into His feet and so forth there. But every time she's at His feet. Now here's Martha. Martha loves the Lord. But every time we find her, she's running to do something. She's busy, full of energy, full of activity, always doing something to show her love for the Lord. But here's Mary, just the opposite. Whenever we find her at the Lord, she's always getting at the feet of the Lord, listening to Him, worshiping Him, and adoring Him. This is the difference in the way they express their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the story before us here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, I want you to note something. I want you to note that the Lord commended Mary for letting some things go in order to make time to spend with Him. He commended her for that. She's letting some things go, that she can have time just to spend at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting Him speak to her by way of His Word. Jesus even said that what Mary was doing was what? He said, "One thing that is needful." He said, "This is something that is needful." Now, what Martha was doing, she's running around all the time. She's serving things. She's always doing things for the Lord. What Martha was doing was not sinful in any sense of the word. Not sinful at all. But what Martha was doing was not something that was needful. Mary was doing what was needful. Martha wasn't sinning. She was doing good things, but it wasn't things that were necessary. Now, why is it that the Lord said, this one thing is needful? That's what Mary's doing, spending time at my feet, listening to my word. This is really what is needful. Why is that? We'll try to answer that question over the next few minutes. The first thing that came to my mind is this. It's needful because faith grows at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith grows at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go back with me. We'll be going again back and forth to John, the two passages in John and the passage here in Luke. But I want you to notice something here over in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Here's the story of that death and the resurrection of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. In John chapter 11, in verse 21, I want you to see what Martha does. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, I want you to remember that statement, because later on we're going to find that Mary makes the very same statement. But here it's Martha. She says unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Then notice Martha's response. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And now I want you to skip over to verse 38 and see what takes place. They go to the graveside. Jesus tells them to remove the stone. And if you're familiar with the story, he calls Lazarus forth from the grave. But when he goes there to the graveside, he says this in verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Now notice what Martha said. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Now here's what I want you to see. Mary believed that Jesus, if Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have died. She makes that very clear in that 21st verse. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She believed that the Lord, if he had been there, that Lazarus would not have died. But Martha did not believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus there that day from the dead. She believed that he would raise him at the day of the resurrection. That's what she says. But whenever the Lord says, all right, hey, I'm not going to wait till the day of the resurrection, roll the stone away, she says, now, wait a minute. He's been buried for 3 days. His body's already decomposing. He's already stinking. You don't want to do that, Lord. I know that you'll raise him up in the end, but I don't know that you can do that right now. However, I want you to notice something about Mary. Mary did not argue. She did not reason, nor did she express any doubts about the fact the Lord could raise her brother from the grave. In verse 32 of John chapter 11, here's what Mary says. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That's the same thing Martha said. If you'd only been here, he would still be alive. But you know something? Whenever the Lord says, hey, roll the stone away from the grave, Mary, unlike Martha, she believed that Jesus could raise her brother from the dead right there on the spot. That he did not have to wait until the day of resurrection. She does not argue with the Lord. She does not explain to the Lord that he's been dead for 3 days and already decomposing. She does not express any doubts. She's just like, the Lord said, do it. We're getting ready to see something wonderful here. You see, what I'm trying to get at is this. Mary had a stronger faith because she had spent time at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what made the difference. You look back at Luke chapter 10, verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And what does Romans 10:17 tell us? It tells us, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, listen to me. We get out here, and we ought to be busy in the Lord's work. We ought to be busy in the Lord's work. I'm not in any sense encouraging anybody to get lazy. I'm not in any sense encouraging anybody to do that. We ought to all be busy in the Lord's work. But I want to tell you something. Just being busy in the Lord's work will not build your faith. If you are going to have a faith that is strong, that is growing, you are going to have to spend time at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just quietly letting Him speak to you as you read His Word, as you talk to Him in prayer. Just let Him build your faith up. That's why it is so needful that we have time at the feet of the Lord. It builds our faith. It builds our faith. Business, a lot of times, being busy will kill your faith. You'll get busy and you'll start doing things and coming up with little ideas to make something work here and make something work there. And actually, your faith is dwindling. It's shrinking up instead of growing because you're not really depending on the Lord. You're just going about the things the way they do in the business world. No, we need to spend time at the feet of the Lord for the sake of our faith, to keep it from shriveling, that it may keep growing. But I want you to see something else here. And that is this, that burdens are also lifted at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're lifted at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back again at Luke chapter 10 and look at verse 40 and 41. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now notice the wording here, the things that are used to describe the activity of Martha, this busy sister that loves the Lord, but she expresses it by just staying busy all the time. Here's how she's described. She's cumbered about much serving. Cumbered. Her life is crowded. She's held back from really doing that which is the most needful thing. She is questioning concern of the Lord Jesus. Lord, dost Thou not care? Don't You care? Here I am doing all this work. My sister's not involved in this. Lord, don't You care at all? Why don't You rebuke her and get her to help me? Martha, Martha, Thou art careful in what? Troubled about many things. You got all these little things going on around you here, and you're just overwhelmed by those things. Careful. You're filled with anxiety. You're worried. You're troubled. There's no peace. There's no serenity in your life because you've always got to take care of all these little details. Now, I want you to listen to Mary in contrast to her sister Martha. What do you hear from Mary through all of this? Nothing. Absolute silence. She's just there at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, enjoying His presence. Though she is being severely criticized, it did not seem to bother her at all. And that was the way with her life. Look again at Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, here's what most people would do if they'd been in Mary's shoes. We would have got offended. We would have defended our position. We would have said, listen here, don't you see that I need to spend some time here at the feet of the Lord? We would have been offended by such criticism. But that's not what Mary does. There's no defense. There's absolute silence. It just kind of rolls off forever, as the old saying says, like water off of a duck's back. It doesn't bother at all. Let me show you something else. Go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 12 again, where that later on they're having another meal there at the home together. And in John chapter 12, we get down to verse 4, and in verse 3 we've already read where that Mary brings the ointment and anoints the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and wipes the feet of the Lord with her hair. And as the disciples there are watching that, verse 4 says, then said one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Now here's what I want you to see. Here she is being criticized by Judas Iscariot for taking and wasting the ointment by breaking the thing and putting the ointment on the feet of the Lord. And he says, man, that's worth a lot of money. Think about all the poor people we could have helped with this. And Mary, instead of taking offense, instead of trying to defend herself, you know what she does? She just keeps on doing what she's doing. doesn't let her bother her at all. And the Lord comes to her defense, but she does not come to her own defense. You know why? I'm convinced of this. Because there was a peace and that she had by sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The burdens were gone. The concern about people criticizing her, what they thought about her, it was all gone. Now, let me ask you a question. Could it be that the reason that we are so easily upset is that we spend so little time at the feet of the Lord listening to Him through His Word? Could that be the reason? And are not people in churches so easily offended? Huh? This one said this about me, and oh, you get our feathers ruffled, and you know, and we get all upset, and you know, maybe the problem is we're not spending enough time at the feet of the Lord. If we were spending more time at the feet of the Lord as Mary was, it'd be like, who cares? I don't care what you say about me. It doesn't bother me. Maybe the reason that we feel so neglected whenever we're out here working and doing things, and we look around and we say, why doesn't this person do this? Why doesn't this one help me here? Maybe our problem is this. Maybe we just need to spend more time at the feet of the Lord, keeping our eyes on Him instead of on others and comparing ourselves with them. You see what I'm trying to get at here? The burdens of life and the pressures of life, the cares of this life, they're just lifted at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see something else, and that is this. Relations are strengthened at the feet of Jesus. Relations. Faith is built. Faith is built. Burdens are lifted. But relations are also strengthened at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what you'll find. Knowing others often weakens relationships as we learn the quirks and the weaknesses of other people. Have you found that to be true? You'll see somebody out there and you'll say, my. They are just, I mean, they are super saint. They are super spiritual. They are so wonderful. Oh, if I could just be like them. But if you are privileged enough to get to know that person, then they may be a great saint of God. But if you are privileged enough to get close enough to that person, here's what will happen more often than not. You'll all of a sudden begin discovering the chinks in their armor. You'll begin discovering their weaknesses, the flaws. And as a result of that, you lose some of your respect for them. The relationship that you enjoyed with them, it is now hindered because of that. I think that's especially true for those that are young in the faith, that are not mature in the faith, when they think that, you know, there's some people up here just have arrived, and then they get to know maybe it's the pastor or some famous evangelist or something like that. And after they get the close stuff to them, they start realizing, man, they're human beings. They're not so great. And they lose that respect and that reverence they have for them. I want to tell you something. That so often happens when we get to know each other. But that will never happen as you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you know Him, the more it will strengthen your relationship with Him. The more it will build your confidence in Him. The more it will build your awe of Him, the more it will build your respect for Him, the better you know Him, the more you are going to adore Him. It is that simple. Why? There are no flaws. There are no chinks in His armor. There is no sin in His life, none whatsoever. And the more you get to know them, the better your relationship will be with Him. That's why I say your relationship will be strengthened at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you realize this. Your relationship with Christ is something that is eternal. It is something that is eternal. Your relationship with Christ, therefore, will sustain you in hours of sorrow. It will sustain you in hours of trouble. It will sustain you in hours of loneliness. It will sustain you in the years of your old age, perhaps when you feel like that everybody else has already died, or and those that have not just really do not care. It will sustain you in those times. Oh, it is so sad to see people that they have been so busy, good people, but they've neglected that intimacy with the Lord. They've not really had a close fellowship within that relationship with the Lord. And because they've neglected that, then sorrows come. And they don't have this relationship with the Lord, the fellowship with the Lord, to see them through that sorrow. Trials come, troubles come, and they don't have that fellowship of that intimacy with the Lord to see them through those times. Lonely times come. Maybe they're put aside in the nursing home and forgotten about. And I'll tell you what, when those things happen, if you haven't had some intimacy with the Lord, those are going to be miserable, miserable times. I'm saying this relationship with the Lord, this intimacy in that relationship with the Lord, it's something that is eternal. It lasts you throughout this life, and it lasts you right on into eternity. Now, you look back at Luke chapter 10, and you look at verse 42, and I want you to notice here what the Lord says. He says this, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let me ask you, Martha, where's your pots and your pans? Let me ask you something, Martha. Where's your tablecloths? Let me ask you something, Martha. Where's the spick and span floors? Couldn't you just see, Martha? The Lord's there, enjoying a meal there. The meal's prepared. It's been put on the table. Mary's at the feet of the Lord, enjoying the presence of the Lord there. But not Martha. A crumb falls on the floor. She has to run over there and pick that crumb up. She sees somebody's glass is a little bit low on tea or whatever they would have drunk. She has to run and make sure that glass is filled. The ice is getting low in this person's glass. She has to make sure that there's enough ice in there. She wonders if the casserole needs to be stuck in the microwave. And I realize they didn't have all that. Then I'm trying to update things here. But she has to run and heat it up right quick to make sure that it's hot enough. Everything's got to be just perfect, just running here and there and here and there, here and there. But Martha, where's all that stuff now? It's gone. It's gone. But what Mary had on that day, it goes on and on and on. It cannot be taken away from her. Oh, I want you to see this morning, what I'm trying to get across to you. Now, I want you to see one other thing here. And that is, our testimonies for the Lord, they're sweetened and strengthened at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting when you look at the Bible, you start looking at it in detail, little things that just you'll tend to overlook if you don't read it carefully. But I want you to look at John chapter 11. And John chapter 11. And here we have again this story of the death and the resurrection of the brother of Martha and Mary, this man Lazarus. And in John chapter 11, look at verse 19. It says, "And many of the Jews came," now get this, "they came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." So the news gets through the community. Lazarus is dead. Martha and Mary, they're over there grieving. And a lot of Jews throughout the community, they come over there to comfort Martha and Mary. But now I want you to look down at verse 45. After that Lazarus is raised from the dead, verse 45 says this, "Then many of the Jews which came to," who? "To Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him." I find it very interesting. It doesn't say those that came to Martha and Mary. There's some reason for that. And I believe it boils down to this. It had something to do with Mary's testimony being sweetened by just being at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Martha. She's always doing something for the Lord, always busy. People come to comfort her. But whenever the brother's raised from the dead, her nervousness, her anxiety and so forth, it really didn't speak to the hearts of these people. But with Mary, a woman that could sit at the feet of Jesus no matter what's going on around her, even with her brother dead, the people that came to comfort her when her brother's raised from the dead, it's those that came to comfort her that placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was something about the testimony of this woman who sat at the feet of the Lord that drew people to Him. That sat at the feet of the Lord that drew people to Him. Have you ever known somebody like that? They weren't in a big rush. They weren't always in a hustle bustle. They weren't that they're lazy. They're always doing things and getting things done for the Lord. But you also realize they have time just to spend with the Lord. And those are the people that get your attention, are they not? That's the way it is with this woman, Mary. You see, sometimes we can get to going so fast and doing the Lord's work a good thing that we really destroy our own testimonies. It was back in 1956, Grumman Aircraft Corporation, they were testing a brand new airplane, the F-11 Tiger. They were flying it over the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of the state of New York. And here's this super fast plane, one of the fastest planes that ever been made, and they're out there testing it out. And the story goes that the pilot, he's flying out there across the Atlantic Ocean, and he points the nose of the plane down about 20 degrees, and he fires off about a four-second burst of fire from his 20-millimeter cannons. And when he does that, then he says he thrusts in the afterburner and take off. And suddenly, his windshield in the plane starts cracking. And the plane starts making all kinds of weird noises. And before it's over with, the windshield caves in and the plane ends up crashing. The pilot survived. It was a miracle that he did. He sustained quite a few injuries, but he survived. And they said, what in the world happened to this plane? Everything was going so good. And here's what they determined. The plane was going so fast it shot itself down. They fired from those 20-millimeter cannons. He threw in the afterburner. It said that the resistance from the atmosphere to the bullets slowed them down. The afterburner thrown in, it sped the plane up. He literally caught up with his own bullets and ran into his own bullets and shot himself down. I heard that story years ago, and I thought to myself, isn't that so much like us? We get to going so fast, faster and faster and faster and faster, doing more and more and more and more. And we mean well. But what happens if we're not careful is this. We'll get to going so fast, throwing that afterburner in, that we neglect that which one thing which is needful, our relationship with the Lord. And as a result of that, we literally self-destruct. We, in a sense, shoot ourselves down. Oh, it's been well over 20 years ago. Someone gave me a cassette tape of a sermon preached by a well-known preacher of that time. He was going all over the country giving these preaching and giving these seminars on raising finances for churches and so forth. There, he was a very, very well-known preacher. And I listened to that sermon. And as I listened to the sermon, I don't even remember what the sermon was about. But I was struck by a statement that the preacher made. And this is not an exact quote, but the statement was something like this. He said, I've reached a point in my life where I hunger to have a closer relationship with the Lord more than anything else. And there was something about the tone of that preacher's voice that just stuck into my mind. It lodged into my mind. It seemed like I heard a sense of despair in his voice, and it just stuck with me. Like it haunted me. I sensed that here was a man that in the eyes of his peers, he's very successful, a man that most of us would have thought if we could just swap places with him, my, we'd be something wonderful for God. But I sensed that in that statement that he made, that he was saying, I have been so busy being successful for the Lord, doing things for the Lord, that I have neglected my relationship with the Lord and my life is empty. Something's missing. And I've reached a point now where that I hunger for a close relationship with the Lord more than anything else. That thing just stuck in my mind. It haunted me. And I thought, what a strange statement. The tone of his voice for a man that's being so greatly used of God, what a strange thing for him to say. It wasn't long after that I heard the tragic news of his death. He had taken his own life. He had taken a pistol, driven out to the cemetery, put the pistol in his head, and shot himself in the head and taken his own life. I think about that man often. I think about here's a man who was so busy doing things for the Lord that he obviously neglected his intimacy with the Lord. He was so busy, cumbered with serving the Lord, that he neglected the one thing that is needful, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and basking in the Word of God. And as a result of that, his life became empty. Though he was a great success and highly admired and great demand as a preacher, yet his life was empty. And finally, he could not take it anymore. And he took his own life. Now, that was well over 20 years ago. But I want to tell you something. In that 20-plus years since then, I can think of at least two other preachers that basically have done the same thing. And those are just some that I'm familiar with. I'm sure there's more. In both the other cases, they were men that had been very active, very successful, in great demand. I mean, it looked like being greatly used of God. but their lives were empty. The intimacy with the Lord was gone. And as a result of that, they ended up taking their own lives. They had neglected the one thing that was most needful. I want us to understand this as a church. We're a small group of people. We stay pretty busy for a small group of people. We accomplish a lot. It's amazing to me what we accomplish. It's amazing. But I want us to understand something. It doesn't matter how busy we are, how much we accomplish. If we do not, as individual members of this church, if we do not have time, make time, put aside the pots and the pans, if we do not make some time to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and just enjoy Him and His Word, I'm going to tell you something. We will become nothing but shells, spiritual shells. And I don't want that for my church family, and I don't want that for myself. Sometimes I've wondered what would happen to a church if the pastor just came in and said, "Hey, folks, you know something? We've just been too busy. I tell you what we're going to do for the next month. Nothing. 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 No special meetings. No special activities. We're just going to, listen, all we're going to do, we're going to come together. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to feast upon the Word of God. We're going to pray together. But I want you to take time. I want you to take time for a month to just, time you'd be doing other things, I want you to just take that time and go home and spend it with the Lord, or come down to the church and spend it with the Lord, or get out in the woods and spend it with the Lord. I've often wondered what would happen if we did that. Maybe my faith is too small. I've never dared to try that. But you understand what I'm saying. We need time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at 2019. How much time have you really spent with the Lord? Not how much have you done for Him, but how much time have you actually spent with the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the one thing that is most needful. And if you're going to be successful at other things, truly successful in the eyes of God, you must not do those other things to the neglect of spending time alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must not do so. You must not do so. Listen, even coming to church, it's hard to just spend time at the feet of the Lord at church, isn't it? It is. It is. You've got to have security. You've got to have this going on, that going on, this going on. That's just the things we have to deal with in this time. But all of it distracts us from just sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It distracts us. Let's make time for Christ this year. Amen? Let's make time.